When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday. Three action-packed hours ahead of what's going to be a fun weekend. Obviously, the Falcons don't play till Monday night. Spend a lot of time today talking about that. Me and Randy head out to Vegas on Sunday. Little watch party on Sunday night, Monday night football on Monday night, two shows Monday morning and Tuesday morning as well. But a lot to get to here over the next 3 hours before we do that. Good morning to you, Abe. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. There's just, like, this isn't groundbreaking comments here. There's just something about Fridays.
Yep.
Like, there really is. I woke up, obviously. I pull into the garage. Bo is backing into his spot. I back into my spot. I'm like, yo, Bo, it's a Friday. Good morning. Like, let's go. It's just something happy, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's holiday season, too, so there's a little bit of that in the air, you know? I don't know. I don't know what it is. I will say this. A little bit of an odd start to the morning, having to go immediately back to the daycare and pick up Jack after he threw up on himself 45 minutes
into the day. I was going to say, what was the...
So Jack's Friday didn't start off quite as good as everybody else's did, but...
he just did what little Bunk used to do. Find a way to get out of school, man.
Yeah.
Or find a way to skip on a Friday.
Hopefully what Big Bunk doesn't do on Sunday night in Vegas.
That too.
You know what I mean? But anyway, yeah. Obviously, a lot to be excited about this weekend, a lot to look forward to, and we'll tell you what's trending coming up in about 15 minutes. As the Hawks look to advance to the NBA Cup final, they take on the Bucks tomorrow in Las Vegas on Saturday afternoon. You may have heard the news earlier today on the Steakhouse. The partnership between 92.9 The Game and the Atlanta Hawks will continue for years to come. We will continue to be the flagship station of the Atlanta Hawks, which is awesome. Been a great partnership so far. I've personally had a ton of fun working on the broadcast alongside Steve Holman and being a part of that too at times, which has been really cool. So great to hear that partnership is going to continue. And as always, Roddy Nabalsi is going to join us at 11:40 from UGASports.com. Haven't talked to him since Georgia became the SEC champions last weekend. Get his thoughts on the draw and everything leading into the college football playoff. Before we do that, obviously there is a lot wrapped into this game on Monday night. Me and Randy kind of talked about this earlier this week, and he's like, are you really surprised that we're here? And I was like, no, I genuinely am. Like, I really actually am surprised that we're back at this exact same spot that we've been at the last couple of years, because
it's been a tale of three seasons.
We got here so differently.
Yeah. But it's also, it feels like it's been a tale of three seasons where
this season?
Yes.
Okay.
The first three games, right? You're 1-2. There were winnable games against good teams, and you're like, we're going through this again. Mm-hmm. You turn it around, you find your way to 6-3.
Yeah.
And you're like, we are here. This is our division. We're 4-0 in the division. It is our season. We're going to be in the playoffs. We're going to, at worst, host a first round playoff game, blah, 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 blah. And now you turn it around to what it's been this last part of what I would say three separate seasons.
4-0 in the division going into a game against the New Orleans Saints, having just fired their head coach, looking to go 5-0 in the division.
Losing seven straight.
And get to 7-3 on the year. Yeah. And obviously since that Sunday, it's been a slide. Like it's been a really bad month of football for the Falcons, most specifically for the quarterback. You asked me a question before the show, which I want to entertain and talk out a little bit more. My answer just very immediately was no. But I was like, all right, let me see if I can try to come up with a more, you know, more complex answer than that.
Be a short segment if that's the question and answer portion of this discussion.
Yeah, the answer is no. We're going to break. Is there anything Kirk Cousins can do on Monday night to earn back your trust? Is that what you guys did? I say
yes,
that right?
And to win, to get fans back on his side, to make fans, if we're going to be honest, like to make fans believe that this team can accomplish something this year, because I feel like that's where we're at.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people are like, well, whatever, they're not going to do much this year. Let's start the Rook.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite there yet.
No.
I'm not in the corner where I believe they can accomplish something.
I'm not saying that we should be starting Michael Penix because the season is over. I'm saying that we should give Penix an opportunity because the season isn't over.
That's part of
it,
too.
And I think he would maybe give you a better chance to win. But that's not what's going to happen. So I know that discussion has been had, certainly on this show and on other shows on the station, other places in the country. Like, that's been a big conversation this week, last couple weeks.
With the exception of Raheem and people inside Flowery Brandt, like, there's not a lot of our listeners here on 92.9 who are like, no, there's still something to be accomplished with Kirk. A lot of people are out right now.
I haven't heard anybody locally, at least from, I don't know, and we didn't get a chance to talk to Arch on Wednesday.
Right.
Maybe there's others, I'm not sure. But I haven't really heard anybody locally be like, yeah, no, it's Kirk's and here's why. You can say, okay, I understand their thought process as to why they might be sticking with him.
Right.
But like a definitive, well-argued answer for why you're doing it, it isn't really there. So my answer to that question of, is there anything he can do on Monday night to regain your trust? Like, no, because he didn't lose it in one game. He didn't lose the trust in 60 minutes of football. He's lost the trust over the course of the last month. And it'll take four games.
Like, what if he stops gritting on throws? Is that, like, something we circle? He's like, he doesn't look like he's struggling on the throws anymore. So we're back in.
He needs to grit his teeth on those throws because he's got to put every single ounce he has into them just to get them there. But it can, you know, he can start working his way back towards it. Because here's the thing. Like, a win is a win in the NFL and all that. I get it. But, like, there's different layers to wins, and the layers to this one, if you were to get the win over the Oakland Raiders, or sorry, against the Las Vegas Raiders on Monday night, would be, okay, that's what you're supposed to do. Like, you beat teams sometimes and it's like, wow, like you were an underdog or you went on the road against a really good team and you had a performance that people didn't see coming. That was impressive and I learned something about you. Monday night, beating the Raiders is the expectation.
But there's a question of, we beat the Raiders, let's just for now assume we're going to beat the Raiders. We beat the Raiders partially because of Kirk Cousins.
Right.
Or we beat the Raiders not necessarily because of Kirk Cousins. I don't want to say despite, you know, because I don't want to make it already a bad performance. But I think there's a level of performance where you're like, this guy led the offense to victory versus we beat this team and this guy didn't blow it for us.
Yeah, no, there's context to it. I mean, what the box score says at the end of the game is going to be a big part of the story. Like, if Kirk Cousins goes out there on Monday night and throws three touchdowns, no interceptions, and 300 yards, like, that's at least going to ease the concern a little bit. Again, that's what he's supposed to do against the Las Vegas Raiders. But if he goes out there and throws a touchdown, at least, I mean, one touchdown would be nice because it's been a month, but throws a touchdown, a couple picks, it's, you know, fourth quarter, and they got to get a Young Wei Koo field goal in order to beat the Raiders, who are 2-11 at this point of the season, and you scrape out of there like 23-21 or something like that. A win is a win, and that's what matters most to sort of end the bleeding or slow the bleeding that's happening right now. But it's not going to feel as good as if you went in there and won 31-10 and Kirk played clean.
Are we going to get to a point on Tuesday where we say, yeah, Kirk didn't have any touchdowns, but that's only because it was the Raiders. A better team would have intercepted that one pass to this or that one pass to
maybe.
But you sat here the other day and said he had six interceptable passes. Like, we're already doing that. Mm-hmm. We're already like, it was only two, but it could have been six.
Yeah.
I mean, we're already kind of there. Yeah. And when we're partially burying the Raiders, too.
My answer being I don't know is because I don't know if they're going to make an adjustment to try to limit throws into dangerous areas if he's going to make an adjustment to try to do that. Because, you know, one of the things we've talked about this week is trying to, and nobody knows, maybe he knows, maybe they know, but nobody on the outside knows exactly why this is happening.
Yeah.
Your theory leans a little bit more on the mental aspect of things. My theory leans a little bit more on the physical aspect of things. In reality, it's probably a mixture of both. We just don't know how much. I'm interested to see what they do adjustment-wise to, because whatever he is right now is a watered-down version of what he was at some point. So mentally, like, he's still intellectually capable of a lot of everything that he's always been capable of. He just doesn't seem to be physically capable of all of it. So maybe they try to work out some of that stuff and don't ask him to do the stuff that he's not physically capable of doing right now.
Let me ask you just a theoretical question about Kirk Cousins' role as Falcons quarterback this season. What has he been asked to be? And does that change? And I know we all talk about the term game manager.
I mean,
has he been asked to be a manager of the game?
I don't
think
so. And
does that maybe change to that's what he is now going to be asked to do?
I don't
think
he's
just manage the game. I don't think he's been asked to that.
I think that would probably be smart. I think that would be smart. Lean on Bijan and Algier a little bit more.
He's been asked to be a leader and a playmaker.
Yeah, exactly.
And it might serve the whole squad better if, hey, man, let's just manage this game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where we are with the quarterback we paid $100 million to.
Well, I mean,
it is what it is.
It is what it is.
But you got to win games.
If he's the starter, which he's going to be, then that, if that's the smart thing to do, then you should. You know, also, it's the Raiders and the Giants coming
up.
So you can probably game manage your way to wins over those guys. The way you lose to those teams is you go out there and you make mistakes trying to make big plays that either aren't there or you can't make anymore. And nobody wants to see that. So back to the original question of what can Kirk Cousins do on Monday to regain your trust? He can't regain all of it on Monday, but he can start working his way back towards it. Baby steps. Again, incredibly frustrating to be talking about that now with him and everything that goes into it. But that's it, man. That's where you are. He's playing. And you've seen how he's been playing. So it's not all that trust isn't going to come back in one game. Not for me, at least. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here to kick the show off on a happy hour Friday. Thanks for being with us. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You started off with a plan. We have a plan. I love the plan. The plan is where we're at, right? Penix is our future, and he is a good-looking future. He is bright because I can understand the excitement behind everybody and wanting to do those things. But, like, Kurt, we said, is out right now, and he's out right now to figure us out how to get through the season and win football games to get us in the playoffs. And you can't forget the fact that you're still right here in the hunt where you're at.
Yeah, that's Raheem Morris, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, yesterday with Dukes and Bell. If you missed the entire interview, check it out on the website, 929thegame.com, the Dukes of Bell page. We'll play more of that in the NFL No Huddle in about 45 minutes. But that's, for all intents and purposes, like, that's it, right? Like, we can all have the opinions that we have. We can break down if it's mental, if it's physical, when you should change, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's the guy who's making the decision, telling us pretty clearly what decision has been made before the season, currently, next week, you know what I mean? Like, that's what they're doing. Kirk Cousins is going to be the quarterback of this football team, come hell or high water.
Can I tell you what
and
this
both
is?
Both hell and high water are here, my friend.
Yeah, because let me tell you what this is. And you know I watch a lot of movies. I watch a lot of bad movies. This is a heist movie in which the thieves are aware the cops know about their plans, and they just still insist stick to the plan.
It was our plan.
That's what this is. Stick to the plan. They know what we're doing. Stick to the plan. It'll all work out. And then four of the guys get killed, and one guy survives, and he gets all the money.
Oh, who's gonna? Okay,
I don't know. I don't know who's. I don't know who's.
Well, I know.
Who,
I'll tell you this.
But I think you get the point.
I know who's getting all the money.
No, it's not me.
Not me. I mean, I guess they're all getting a little bit of money. But nobody's getting as much money as the quarterback. So hopefully he plays better.
He said, Raheem in that cut said, we're sticking to the plan. We're right in it. I don't want to go here, but I will for the moment.
All right.
If the Bucs win and you lose, you're not in it.
No, you're not.
And so the idea of we're right in it today on a Friday, by Tuesday, not be in it.
Well, that might be when the future starts.
Right.
It might be.
And then we have to have, depending on how it plays out, the too little too late discussion too.
Oh, it would be. I mean, it
well, if Penix were to come in and win
games behind them, then it's too little too late. Even
if he comes in and looks good and wins games and whatever.
Oh, yeah,
there's the other way too.
Then you'd say, you know, why didn't
there's the other way where you somehow find yourself in the top 12 of the draft.
No. That was never going to happen. They're going to be too good. They're going to be too good forever now to ever draft as high as they drafted last year again. That's why they had to draft Michael Penix last year.
No, I'm
they're
just
never going to draft
right,
that high again
season,
ever.
Yeah,
we're
going
to be so good forever that we can spend a first-round draft pick on whatever we want. But what if you need other stuff? Doesn't matter. We're going to be so good forever that our draft picks, I mean, we can do whatever we want with them.
To be fair, pretty bad draft class this year. For quarterbacks.
This year? Oh.
For
well, luckily you don't. Yeah. Well, I guess you're good on that one.
We're set.
Yeah, man. It's not a fun conversation to be having. We've been having it a lot for like a month. Still don't know who's going to start for the Raiders on Monday. That'll sort of play out throughout the weekend. Seems like they really want Aiden O'Connell to start. I really want Desmond Ridder to start. I think, first of all, you have a better chance to win if Desmond Ridder plays for the Raiders because he's bad.
We got some good news there.
Storyline.
Because O'Connell was out of practice yesterday. At the
so
same
he was
time,
in the walkthrough a couple days ago and out of practice.
I think
yesterday.
At the same time, good. Justin Herbert was limited but did practice. So,
what would you rather have? You'd rather have Desmond Ridder play for the Raiders or Taylor Heinicke play for the Chargers?
Because I'm still trying to win the division, I'd rather – we could still beat the Raiders with O'Connell.
Either one absolutely should beat the Raiders by the
but
same
But I don't
score,
know if the
no
Chargers
the
are beating
is.
The Bucks with Heinicke. And for the sake of trying to stay in this thing, I would rather Herbert play than Ridder.
You'd rather Heinicke play than Ridder?
No. I want.
Oh, right. My bad.
Herbert,
Of course. You want. Right. You want Herbert to play because we want the Chargers to win. We want the Chargers to beat.
And if it takes us dealing with Aiden O'Connell for them to have to deal with Justin Herbert, then so be
it. But again, it doesn't matter. Like my opinion of what should happen on Monday night changes 0% based on who the quarterback of the Raiders is. You should beat the Raiders by 3 touchdowns, no matter what.
For that point, by the way, like the Bucs can beat Justin Herbert too.
Sure.
It's not as
The Falcons,
one or the other.
The Falcons held the Chargers offense to 0 touchdowns with Justin Herbert at quarterback 2 weeks ago. Like, that offense is not a juggernaut by any stretch, whether it's Herbert or Heinicke or whatever.
And we still don't know if Ladd McConkey is going to play. Yeah. He missed last game. Yep. So, nope. Hey, it's a mess.
Now, we've gotten to the scoreboard watching portion of the season. I kind of thought the division.
We were supposed to be watching scoreboards for magic numbers and eliminations and clinching, and it's the other way.
Last night on Thursday Night Football, the Rams won again. And it wasn't the prettiest game ever played, but whatever. They can win a variety of different ways. They won a shootout against the Bills on Sunday. It was at 44-42. Stafford was incredible. Last night they won a slog. I don't think either team scored a touchdown.
No, we had a bunch of field goals.
Six field goals or whatever it was.
I think it was like late first quarter. I heard the announcers say, like, Stafford already has more incompletions today than he did the entire game against the Bills. I'm like, it's the second drive, man. What are we doing?
Yeah. That was a pretty grimy football game last night on Thursday Night Football. But nevertheless, the Rams are now 8-6. They're in a good position to win that division, possibly.
Potentially.
Because they play the Seahawks final week of the season.
And the Seahawks have a tough game this week.
They're also in a decent spot. It's going to be hard because there's so many good teams in the NFC North. But they're at least one spot ahead of the Falcons in the wild card standings as well. Maybe a game and a half ahead of them. No.
It is game and a half now. Yeah, they're in a good shot. Tough go in fantasy playoffs for those who have Cooper Kupp. It's his first catchless game in however long it's
second
been.
Second of his career. Second of his career.
I mean, he's a must start, obviously, but nothing.
Yeah. Did you have him?
No, I had a bye. I'm killing it, tearing it up.
Good. Good to hear.
Yeah, thanks.
Here's Bill Belichick being introduced as the new head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels football team. Still feels really, really weird to say that. It probably will for the whole time. But this is, he said, this is what he always wanted to do.
I've always wanted to coach in football, coach in college football. And it just never really worked out. Had some good years in the NFL, so that was okay. But this is really kind of a dream come true. I grew up in college football with my dad. As a coach of Navy for 50 years, so as a kid, all I knew was college football, and so it's great to come back home to Carolina, you know, back in an environment that I really grew up in.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's what he always wanted to do. I'm really not sure. As the reports have kind of come out a little bit more, quite a few folks saying there might not have been any NFL jobs there, like. Clearly, last offseason, there weren't. He interviewed here. It didn't happen. Nobody else interviewed him. Might have been a similar situation this offseason as well.
If he thought he was going to get an NFL job this year, he would not be in Chapel Hill yesterday.
Yeah, and he thought he was going to get an NFL job last year. Thought he had one.
Right.
And ultimately didn't, obviously. And so now he's there. So, I mean, it's still very it's very surprising to me that that's
the route
that it went.
I didn't come here to leave. He mentioned that yesterday when asked about, hey, what if an NFL team comes calling? Do you believe him?
No, I don't. And I don't even know if it's about an NFL team. I think the plan is to set his son up to be the future of that program. But you just kind of dig into the details of the contract, and it looks pretty clear. Like,
he can get out after 1 year if he wants.
He at least wants the option to leave.
Yeah, he can get out after 1 year if he wants. It's only guaranteed through 3 years.
Yeah, it's a weird coach's contract. It's much more like an NFL player's contract, where it's a 5-year contract, but only 3 of it are guaranteed. But after 1 year, he can buy his way out of the contract for $1 million.
Yeah,
if he wants to leave. So,
did you guys? I know this is kind of other contract. Did you see the Juan Soto stuff where he can just get out after 5 years?
I didn't.
And it just, like, if money has come a long way, he can just
get another one?
Get a deal at 30 or 31, however old he would be. Just can the last 10 years of this whole deal.
Just go back to the negotiating table again?
Yeah, pretty much.
Or he's just tired of being a Met because it didn't work out, because it probably won't, because it never does.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know, I'll go to a different team.
He might have to trade as opposed to do a new deal, but maybe. I just found it weird.
I don't know. The whole Belichick thing is weird to me, remains weird. I don't think he'll be there for very long. I do think he'll probably do okay while he's there, but I don't think he'll be very long.
What's his game day get up? Is he?
Well, they gave him a hoodie yesterday with short sleeves.
Is he going to do like the half sleeve warm up look? It's going to be hot.
Oh, right. Well, but I mean, it's hot early season in Foxborough, too. You know, those September games?
Yeah, I guess.
Just a warm up there.
Is that game against TCU on the road?
I think he's probably going to do the same thing he's always done, which is have, you know, schlubby cut-off sweatshirts. And
I just didn't know if it's going to be a sweatshirt or like that warm-up material, that little light jacket thing.
I don't know. Another layer of intrigue to find out.
It might be what I'm most interested in.
The Hawks are going to be in. Everybody's in Vegas this weekend. Falcons are in Vegas to take on the Raiders on Monday. Hawks are in Vegas to take on the Bucks tomorrow afternoon. Me and Randy are headed to Vegas on Sunday to do a couple of shows on Monday and Tuesday. Watch party on Sunday night with Falcons fans. I'm excited to watch this one tomorrow afternoon between the Hawks and the Bucks. Now, the Bucks are playing better, obviously. Got off to a really bad start this year. They're 13-11 now. They won the other night against Orlando, a game Orlando Magic team that didn't have either one of their stars. And I know Banchero hadn't been in there for a while. Wagner's hurt, too. Hawks beat the Bucks just about 10 days ago.
119-104, something like that.
Yeah, a really nice performance against them just about 10 days ago. So hopefully they can repeat that tomorrow. And if they do, then they go to the NBA Cup Final, which definitely is not something that I expected them to be doing. It's very cool to see them doing it.
It's interesting to watch the Falcons. It's not interesting to watch them. The Hawks in kind of their season-long stats don't really measure up with what they do to bother teams. They feel like they're just bad matchups for almost everyone. When you combine the Reza Shea length, the Jalen Johnson length, and the Dyson Daniels length, we know the Hawks have had relative ability to defend Giannis over the years. And
yeah, Okongwu does a pretty nice job with
specialized
Giannis
in that to an extent. And obviously, I know we were all frustrated by, like, the fouls and what was going on there.
Yeah.
That was a hometown court, right? That was in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Maybe we get a little bit more neutral refereeing.
The man shot 26 free throws when they played him last
week. It takes
him
12 seconds to shoot each one.
Yeah, and he missed 12 free throws. The Hawks, I think, as a team that night shot 22 free throws.
Yeah.
So they were outshot at the free throw line by Giannis. Yeah, that shouldn't happen tomorrow afternoon. I wouldn't think. It'll be interesting to see who they put some of those wing guys on, because obviously somebody's got to slow down Dame. Dame's been playing really solid lately at 28 the other night. Okongwu has done a nice job against Giannis. And then, I mean, the Hawks' offense has been really good. Like, Trey's just been the head of the snake, and it's been really good.
Yeah.
So should be fun. Army-Navy tomorrow as well as the Heisman ceremony. We'll get back into that in the 12 o'clock hour. Maybe a little bit more at 12:20. NFL No Huddle to lead the noon hour. Coming up next, though, Roddy Nabalsi going to join us from UGASports.com. Get his thoughts on Georgia's SEC championship win over Texas on Saturday night. Look ahead to the college football playoff as well. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, I get it. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. We'll get back into a little bit of what happened last night in the first game of Week 15, start looking ahead to the rest of the games on Sunday, and, of course, the Falcons game on Monday night against the Las Vegas Raiders. Fridays at 11:40, though, mean Roddy Nabalsi joins the show from UGASports.com. Always picks his walk-up music as well as it relates to the current state of the Georgia Bulldogs. Roddy, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Literally on a new level. The Dogs are SEC champions. You remember 4 weeks ago, they weren't even in the playoffs, yep. So that is definitely a change of fate for the Georgia Bulldogs.
It really is. And I think, you know, if you look at the season from the full context of how hard the schedule was and how things felt after the Ole Miss loss and the way Carson played for part of the year, and now they're the SEC champions with a bye in the first round of the playoff. The only team ranked above them is the undefeated Oregon Ducks. Like, that's a hell of a year when you put all that context into it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and I mean, people are going to give Kurt Cignetti the coach of the year, but I really think this is Kirby Smart's best coaching job ever. Remember, he had four new coaches, and, you know, Will Muschamp basically steps back, which is a huge loss for the game day adjustments. You lose, what, eight guys to the NFL? You lose your All-American tight end.
Yeah.
You lose a wide receiver. Just brutal. And then you have all the injuries. I mean, you had over 12 starters go down, and you just won an SEC title with your backup quarterback. I mean, I don't want to blow too much smoke up Kirby's skirt, but it was just great. You know, that was as good as it gets. He did his best coaching job because 2021, 2022, he's, you know, everyone thinks he's coach of the year, which he was, you know, to be fair, for winning titles. But this was a much harder job in the transfer portal NIL era. So I'm not saying he's better than Kurt, but this is his best job with his least amount of talent and the hardest schedule.
Hey, Roddy, it's Abe in for Randy here on the Midday Show. What did we learn about Gunnar Stockton in that second half in overtime against Texas in the SEC title game?
That he's maybe the toughest SOB I've ever seen in my life. I mean, no, he got his molars knocked out. You know, this is a kid who his helmet flies off, and if you get a close-up, his eyes roll up in the back of his head.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. He holds on to the ball. If he fumbles right there, remember, Texas had just scored a field goal on their first overtime possession. There's nobody around him.
Yeah, that's game.
There's game over.
Yep, that's game.
But he holds on to it unconscious, then pops up, and it's ready to go back. He was going to go back and hand off the ball or throw on the next play. But because they said it wasn't targeting, which if that's not targeting, I don't know what the hell is.
Yeah.
He couldn't go in the game, so they had to bring out a one-armed Stetson Bennett. I mean, Carson Beck to go out there and win the game with one arm tied behind his back. So, just Gunnar is a baller. Every time I'd go see him at Raven County, he would score 7-8 touchdowns.
Wow!
And I mean, every time. Once is a fluke. Twice is okay. Maybe you're not playing anybody. The third time is like, okay, this is who he is.
Yeah.
And he would either throw for 4 and run for 4, or throw for 6, run for 2. It was just. I mean, there's a reason he scored, you know, so many touchdowns up there. And he's just a son of a coach and an absolute baller. And he's going to make mistakes. Folks need to get ready for that in New Orleans. But he's also – he'll take off and run, and he'll put his body on the line. And he's tough to tackle. He's a big kid.
Okay, so you said something there that sort of answered my question, which was if I'm working on the assumption that he's going to be the starter, sounds like he, you know, you are too, or maybe yours isn't an assumption. How does the offense change with Gunnar Stockton playing quarterback in the college ball playoff for Georgia versus Carson Beck?
Well, I think of it this way. Who's the backup to Gunnar Stockton?
Right.
It's Ryan Puglisi. So why is he the backup and not Jaden Rashada, the kid you got who has much more college football playing experience? And it's because Ryan Puglisi knows the offense, or at least more familiar with it. It's the same with Gunnar Stockton. He's going to run Mike Bobo's offense. And he just basically gives you a little bit more when it comes to the run game. Look how Georgia's offense changed when they came in and Carson Beck started running it. It looked completely different. There was 3 or 4 plays per game the last 5 games where he just made a first down with his leg. So it kind of feels back to that Stetson Bennett mentality where you're going to run the offense, you're looking to throw it, you're looking to play action. But if they're going to keep 2 high safeties up there and leave the middle of the field open, he's going to tuck it and run it. So you can do a little more read option with him, and that backside guy can't crash in like he always wants to do against Georgia's when they basically have Carson Beck in there. So that's going to work. It fits Mike Bobo's scheme perfectly. And I think they'll look more like they did in 2021 or 2022 under Stetson Bennett than they have looked in the last 2 years under Carson Beck, just because of that one wrinkle.
Roddy Nabalski, UGASports.com, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Roddy, Texas made it intentional to pick on Daniel Harris in the secondary. How does UGA adjust on the back end?
Take Daniel Harris out? Nah, that's mean. I shouldn't say that. It was very frustrating because that's where they were looking. And remember, Ole Miss, you know, ignored Georgia's corners and went after their safeties, stars, and linebackers. And they just said, hey, we're not worried about the corners. We can attack them on the let's go to the C and B section of the field. And, you know, short, middle, just attack them there. And Georgia had no answer for it. They weren't going to let Quinn Ewers do that, but that means you had to go play a lot more man. And whenever they saw man at Daniel Harris, that's where they went. And it worked. You're just going to have to get him some help on the backside. And one of those that, you know, we all blame Daniel Harris for, was actually Malachi Starks was supposed to pick him up. So it's not all Daniel Harris's. He had a tough draw and he had a rough game, but he's going to have a lot of time to get better. But that is, Georgia's secondary is not good. I mean, I thought it would be better this year, which sounds weird because you lost 3 guys to the NFL out of 5. But I was told by everybody in the program, we've got better athletes, we've got faster guys. They're going to be inexperienced, but once they catch on, man, these guys are going to shut down everything. Yeah, well, that didn't happen. So every time Georgia runs or a team runs the ball against Georgia, thank your lucky stars. Every time they throw it, you know, your bottom is going to pucker a little bit.
Of the guys that are dealing with injuries, I know there's a lot of guys that are banged up at this point of the season. Who do you think benefits the most from the time off over the next couple weeks, Rowdy, from a Georgia perspective?
I gotta think maybe like Christian Miller, you know, who had the shoulder injury. Mm-hmm. He is so disruptive in the middle. He's so fast. His swim move and his when he rips and clubs, he gets past people, and he's just an absolute force in the middle. You know, having that busted shoulder, given 3 weeks, and he was rushed out. He wanted to go this against Texas. But give him the opportunity to get back. That'd be big. Also, Roderick Robinson, remember he got in against Tech and just plays, but that was his first time really doing it. He goes from not playing at all to playing 26 snaps. Let's let him kind of work his way back now that he's knocked the rust off, and let's see what he can do. Because you've got two slicer and dicers and Nate Frazier and Trevor Etienne, but if you want a power back, that's Roderick Robinson. So let that toe get completely healthy and get Christian Miller on the other side, and all of a sudden you're looking pretty good out there.
Hey, Roddy, I know you were busy with post-game duties on Saturday evening, but I'm sure ultimately you had an opportunity to watch that SMU-Clemson game. SMU loses. They still make the playoffs over Alabama. Where did you fall on the committee's decision not to penalize SMU too much and keep them in over the Crimson Tide?
I was slightly furious, but not for the reason everyone suspects. I just remember when Georgia lost last year in the playoff, they went from number one to number six.
Yep.
Never seen anything like that in my whole life. And Texas drops, they're at number two, they just dropped to number three. I'm like, wait a minute. Hey, well, what's going on here? So my point is, if you're going to lose and get knocked out completely in the playoffs, then there's no point in playing SEC or any championship game. So I thought they had to remain in it. And I was furious. I'm like, oh, so now we don't penalize the loser of a championship game. Doesn't matter that you went undefeated in the regular season. Now we got new rules, and it just seems like whenever there's new rules, it's almost always to Georgia's detriment or after Georgia's been screwed over. So I was a little upset for the Georgia's sake, you know, on their behalf. But I thought, SMU, you didn't play anybody. Alabama is the better team, no question in my mind. If they play, Alabama wins 10 out of 10 times. But you got to decide, do you want conference games or do you want the 12 best teams? And the committee decided we got to save the sanctity of these conference championship games.
Yeah, there's a few dollars on the line for those games, I think. I think they like the revenue from those games. Roddy, we appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Roddy Nabalsi there, UGASports.com. That is an interesting shift from year. Like, one thing that changed most between last year and this year is the way that they treated losers of conference championship games. Like, they bent over backwards before they got there this year to be like, we don't want to penalize people just for making the postseason. Like, that was never a standard before at all. Like,
right,
never even a conversation.
You have the flexibility to do that when you have 12 teams.
Understood, but I just, like, it still was an extra game that other people didn't have to play.
10 out of 10 times?
Yeah, I feel like I don't have
that. If that game's on the road, I'm not so sure.
I don't have Roddy's level of confidence in Alabama.
Okay, just making sure.
I did watch Alabama lose 24-3 to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
It was not particularly good. But I think Roddy just wanted to drive his point.
I know. Just 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Hard sell, man.
I don't even know if Alabama would pick themselves 10 out of 10 over SMU. Like, we would probably beat them 7 out of 10. You know, you never know. Milroe might have a bad day. All right. We'll come back. Thanks again to Roddy Nabalsi. Always great stuff from him. Everybody kind of knows this and feels this way, but he's talking about Gunnar Stockton as if Gunnar Stockton's flat out playing, starting, all that stuff. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.